Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back into it on a Wednesday morning here on Fesco and Dusty with Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, and myself. Damn, glad to have you. Already Wednesday, man. I can't just emphasize how this is one of the greatest weeks probably in the history of my life. Ryder Cup, Oktoberfest, Blink 182, Baltimore, Kansas City, and
Smash.
You guys. So yeah, it's been gotta you know maintain it, but. So yesterday,
you mentioned real fast in break, mm-hmm. like if the season were to end today, which it kind of is,
yeah.
you'd have Guardians and Tigers in round one and Yankees and Red Sox in round one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, say less. Say less, Bob.
I know that I'm hard.
Very right, much right. so. Especially being a baseball geek. Man, that'd probably be stationary TV patio Wednesday night, groggy Thursday morning, but I'd be like, man.
But I'll tell you what, dude. Look at the National League, though.
But see, that's where our schedule Fs, man, right? Because,
yeah.
like, those games will be, like, at 2:35 and 5:45.
Which so I'm
like,
good with that, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well here's what we're going to have. We're going to have Detroit at Cleveland. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Boston at New York.
Okay.
Then that now, right now, in the National League, until the Mets, you know, puke up all over themselves, they're going to go to L.A. for the first wild card. So you got Mets, Dodgers.
That's massive.
And then you've got Padres, Cubs. I mean, so, like, that's the outlier right there. The Padres, Cubs, while it could be the best series of the bunch, you know, is the one that doesn't have any sort of juice around it. You got the Mets and Dodgers, which is obviously a rivalry, Cleveland and Detroit, and then New York and Boston, man. That is a crazy, crazy Major League Baseball playoff schedule.
What's even crazier are the two teams waiting.
Yeah.
On both sides. Because on the National League side, it's Philadelphia, Milwaukee.
That's right. Milwaukee's the one seed, which
Philly's,
is awesome.
Philly's a solid market, but Milwaukee, come on.
Yeah.
We can read it. And then on the AL side, who are the two teams waiting?
Toronto and Seattle. Yeah, Toronto's the one seed right now. Now that could change. Yankees are, you know, are still there kind of nip and tuck with all of that kind
and
of
Toronto
stuff.
Just got Santander back.
Yeah,
so he's eligible to play as if he wasn't doing anything other this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to mention this because this was kind of like this topic will brew throughout the week because Green Bay goes to Dallas.
Right.
And I thought that the two storylines that started this game off were Micah Parsons on what he's going to do if he gets a sack. Dak Prescott said it's going to hurt. That's what Micah's response was.
And he meant it's going to hurt him more than it's going to hurt Dak.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other comment or story that came out of it was there will be no welcome back. There will be no, you know, moment for Micah in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Jerry's call. Now, I agree with this move from Jerry Jones for two different reasons. Number one, I get that Micah Parsons is fourth all time in Dallas's history for sacks with 52 in his first four seasons with them. But again, it was four seasons.
4 years, yeah.
So, like, it's not like he was, what, Neil Smith for the Chiefs and went to the Broncos for 2.5 years in the Chargers or whatever it was,
yeah.
and then came back and played. Like, I would totally understand and would understand why it would merit, welcome back, Neil Smith. It would hurt some people, but you'd still be like, that guy was here for the glory days. Respect to that guy. He played here for 9 years with the Chiefs. And then by year 10, he was with Denver or whatever it was. You get what I'm saying. But with Micah, it was like, one, it was a very short period. Yes, he was a very dominant player, a very well-known Dallas Cowboy. But the other reason why I agree that Jerry's not doing this is because I think we live in a different time in Dallas where I think the majority now, I would say almost 85%. I think there's probably still 15% of people like, you know, Jerry got us three titles and changed our franchise. Whatever he does, I'll trust him. It's like, come on, man.
You think it's 15? You think it's that high?
Maybe. I might be being really nice to Dallas fans. Yeah. But again, it's Texas.
It is Texas. Yeah.
And I think the main reason is that there would be an uproar of applause. There would be a celebration celebrating Micah. And I think that when you look at something like this, that's going to do what to Jerry Jones? Make him look like an ass, make him look dumb, make him look, you know, pitiful. And there's one thing that like egotistical, narcissistic, rich billionaires don't want. And those are those three things. Mm-hmm. So props to him for doing this. I'm sure that he's got a lot of help in his PR department and his son, but the longevity wasn't there for Micah to get one of these.
Yeah.
And also the,
there was no success really there either.
Right.
You know?
And then also like in a moment of saving face, which is okay, I guess Jerry's doing that as well. So I think there are two different ways to look at that, but I also agree. Like it wouldn't do it. Like it just, I just wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think you do that. First of all, he didn't play there long enough. Second of all, he didn't win anything. People were comparing it to when Emmitt Smith came back as a member of the Cardinals and they gave a tribute to Emmitt Smith. The Cat won three Super Bowls in Dallas.
And he missed one game as a starter, and he held out or two games. And that's because he held out for a contract in 95.
And I'll never forget that year, 95 against the Giants at opening night. That guy destroyed the Giants. I'll never forget watching him in that game against the Giants. And I think I want to say he played with a separated shoulder or something at that point in time. It was an unbelievable performance by Emmitt Smith. But
this is random. Did the Chiefs do anything for Tyreek Hill when he came back the first time? Because wasn't it that playoff game?
Yeah, I think it was the Miami. I don't think so. I think it was too cold for anybody to care.
Either way,
Tyreek didn't deserve a welcome back because of the way things ended and the way things left.
And he was here, what, 6 years? 5 years?
He was drafted in 16 and he left after the 21 season, right? So 5 years roughly here in Kansas City. Yeah. And they had obviously success. He'll go down as the greatest wide receiver in Chiefs history, in my opinion, as we sit right now. Obviously, who knows what the future holds. But the way that he left and the way that he kind of trashed the organization on the way out the door. And that's kind of where you are with Micah Parsons right now, I think, if you're in Dallas. That got ugly down there, man. That wasn't an acrimonious departure. That wasn't something that was, you know, fun. They were fighting, legit fighting in the media. Most of the time we thought it was Jerry just putting on a show, right? No, this was legit down there. And so I just don't think because, you know, we're in 2025, you know, we always want to celebrate every rando athlete. Like when these baseball teams post goodbye to somebody who pitched one inning for the team and you're like, thank you for your, you didn't do anything around here. We don't need to honor everybody that comes back to our organization, especially a guy who didn't, you know, win the championships down there. And then it ended the way that it did in Dallas, very, very ugly. And so that's why I think, you know, it's that way because it ended ugly. And also, again, it was a 4-year run. It was a blip on the radar screen. We don't have to celebrate every former athlete.
This isn't the
that
NBA.
Comes back.
Seriously.
Thanks for your 6 months.
Yeah, literally.
Thanks for your time. You pitched an inning.
Yeah,
you know, you shot
about?
One ball. Like, and so I'm fine with Dallas doing this. I actually support Dallas. I thought it would have been ridiculous had they did honor Micah
Celtics
Parsons.
Celtics fans gave Shaq
too.
A standing ovation.
Yeah,
came
exactly.
back as a Arizona whatever.
It's like, what? Yeah, yeah, no, seriously. James Harden comes back to the Brooklyn Nets. So like, yeah.
Thanks,
man.
Thanks for everything, James.
What?
No, you destroyed our franchise.
Yes, exactly.
We destroyed our franchise.
I don't know about that, but yes.
Among others.
Yes. Yeah. Well, of course, you were part of destroying our franchise.
For sure.
You're a key cog in this, you know?
Jay-Z.
Which, by the way, did you see the new dressing rooms that they put in that Barclays Center yesterday that they unveiled? They're all like Brooklyn brownstones. I mean, you got to look these things up, man. The dressing rooms for the acts that are going to come in there. I'm like, why do they care what the acts think of the dressing room? And like, well, we're competing against how many different venues in New York for the concerts.
Makes sense.
So they've created all of these. I mean, it is unbelievable.
Okay.
The locker rooms, the dressing rooms for these acts that they've created. It's insane. They put hundreds of millions of dollars into dressing rooms.
You agree that they shouldn't?
Oh,
like
yeah.
You're on the same. Yeah,
for sure. This would be a bigger story if they did. This is a non-story to me. Yeah, of course they're not. I mean, Parsons is a great player, 3-time All-Pro, over 12 sacks every year was there, but it was 4 years. They didn't win anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
If he had won a DPOY, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, even then. But like,
did he not win one?
No, I don't.
Who's been winning them in the NFC?
Well, defensive player of the year.
Oh, it's both leagues. Yeah, it counts. Yeah, yeah. Oh, so Bosa's probably got one.
Yep.
Well, not this year.
Miles Garrett. No, Bosa. Yeah.
Yep. But also too, when you look at what he you know did or did not do down in Dallas, to compare it to Emmitt Smith, I think is a really a bad look by whoever was doing
ridiculous.
That. They also said Zeke Elliott got a tribute when he came back. He also played a very long time in Dallas, right?
Did you say Emmitt Smith's probably Dallas's main franchise player, or would you go Staubach?
Well, I said I think it's still Roger. I do. I mean, like he was the original, in the Navy quarterback. Of the Dallas Cowboys, he's the reason why we look at every
Mount
Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys go.
Probably. I mean, I think
is Jerry on there.
Well,
seriously.
I mean, I don't know. I was just thinking players, but like, I if you're taking Jerry's first 5 years, hell yes, he's on there. If you're taking Jerry's last 30, no.
Because what? It's Staubach. Aikman gets the boot.
Aikman.
Irvin's on there. Yeah, Irvin's Emmett's on there, and Jerry's on there.
Irvin. Emmett.
Roger.
Roger. I mean,
Jerry.
but there's so many guys.
Too
like,
many teams.
I mean, look at all the Hall of Famers that the Dallas Cowboys have had over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to pick, who they could have as, their Mount Rushmore. That's an interesting one. That's not an easy layup because the 70s and early 80s, I mean, they were dominating the NFL. I mean, they were the best team. It was America's team. And so they had a lot of great players, but 4 years does not make you a franchise icon
not
or anything
true.
like that.
And to your point with Zeke, it's up to Jerry Jones. That's his favorite guy.
Yeah, Zeke's it's one of his favorite players.
And
yeah.
Zeke was also there 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it ended on a better note.
Yeah. Yeah. So this thing got ugly, man. Yep. Like, it got nasty. Yep. Like, what
Which
do
is
people
Jerry's
understand?
Fault, but
well, it's both of their faults, but I mean, but
it's 95% Jerry.
Yeah, 95%. Yeah. I'm giving it all to Jerry.
But. Yeah. But I mean, it takes two to get a deal done. Yeah. I don't know what was offered or what the conversations were and all of that kind of stuff.
They called him Michael.
Yeah. And then he called him Michael. Right. No, I'm not absolving Jerry for anything, but I'm with you. I'm about 95% Jerry's fault, 5%
Bobby.
On the other side. But honoring that guy, I mean, come on. That would be like, I don't know, honoring Daniel Sorensen when he came back to Kansas City. Had some big plays, did some nice things. But we would welcome him back, I don't think.
I mean,
I don't know. I'd want a little like.
How long was Tyron here? And he banged the drum.
Yeah, 3 years.
Won a title, change
the
defense.
See, Tyron's it's different with
titles
Tyron.
Titles matter, though.
Titles matter, and what you did in that moment that you were here really matters. How you contributed to the team matters, too.
That guy called the entire fan base toxic and still was able to bang the drum.
He banged the drum, and everybody cheered and celebrated and whatnot. Yeah. Now, this week, we get Priest Holmes, who's banging the drum,
makes sense.
He played about the same amount of time as Tyron Matthew did in Kansas City.
Crazy.
Played for both teams. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about it from that angle.
Priest Holmes has the most unlucky career ever with a great 3-year stretch in Kansas City. Played at Austin for the Texas Longhorns. Gets hurt. Who comes in?
Ricky Williams.
What does Ricky Williams do? Win the Heisman.
Smokes weed.
Then all of a sudden he goes to Baltimore. He's their running back of the future. Priest Holmes gets hurt. Who comes in? Jamal Anderson or Jamal Lewis comes in. What does he do? Run for 2,000 yards because the best running back in Baltimore. Then he goes to Kansas City, where he has 3 very good years behind a great offensive line. Then what happens?
Gets hurt.
He gets hurt against Cincinnati. In comes in Larry Johnson, who then starts his career. So it's just everywhere Priest went, there was this guy behind him that was also but again, Priest Holmes was one of the best.
Such is the life of a running back NFL.
But think
though,
about those three guys that filled after you. Ricky Williams,
still
one of the best running backs I've ever seen play college football. Jamal Lewis, who was an absolute man. And then Larry Johnson ended very poorly, but still for a 3-year stretch, 27 was, dominant.
He was good. I'll always have a soft spot by heart for Priest Holmes, too. He was the first guest that I booked when I got my job with KMBZ back in 2001, and we're out at OTAs, and I told the hosts, I said, we're going to have this guy on. They're like, we've never even heard of this guy. Why would you want to book him? I go, he's going to be very good for this team, because I had just come from Texas. There was a lot of talk about him in Texas and all that kind of stuff. But it was an afterthought. They signed him to a $3 million contract when he came. Nobody wanted Priest Holmes, and the Chiefs took a shot on Priest Holmes and gave him that opportunity to come here and then assembled that offensive line around him and turned him into one of the great running backs, after week 6 or whatever it was, where they finally realized, oh, this is our guy. But I always remember watching him at practice. He would always run to the end zone. Every play he would finish in the end zone, And I had a conversation with Vermeil one time. I'm like, he's so good. What makes him so good? He goes, he does what he does because he does what he does. And I'm like, okay, now tell me something normal. He goes, well, watch him every play. I go, yeah. He goes to the end zone. He goes, right. That's why he's great. He finishes every play in the touchdown. He does everything right. He does everything the right way. And that's what I'll always remember about Priest Holmes. He was a kind of a tone setter, a game changer, obviously, on the field. But his off the field work ethic, man, was insane. I mean, he's one of the most yoked dudes that I've ever seen. And so it'll be cool to see him up there. I didn't even think of the Baltimore kind of thing when they said he was banging the drum and all of that kind of stuff. And so I like that aspect of it. But, man, he was beautiful to watch for 3 years. I don't know that I've seen a smoother, more elegant running back in this franchise than Priest Holmes. He was just special.
Have you guys both seen Vegas Vacation?
Oh, God, yes.
You know the scene where Randy Quaid meets Wayne Newton for the first time? He's like, I'd die for you. And, like, pats his hair.
Yeah.
So I was a cashier at a Price Chopper on Woods Chapel in 291, right there in the crosshairs. And
that's where they have the nicotine-flavored vodka.
Yep, UV. Oh. And he would come in early mornings on Saturdays. And I was always, my cashier schedule on Saturday was 7:30 to 12:30.
That's the bonus hour, man. When you're in the grocery store Saturday, 7:30 to 12:30.
Greatest schedule of all time. Fantastic. I come in at 7:30. I'd work till 11. I'd take a 30-minute break. So I'd go from 11 to 11:30. And then I'd have an hour left of the lunch rush of groceries coming through. And I was gone.
Yeah,
day was over.
You kind of missed the rush. It's quiet on a Saturday morning until, that's a good shift.
So Priest would come in at like 8 a.m. Nobody's in the store. And I remember one time he had like this just, like, skin tight on the biceps shirt. It like had like the little bands in it or whatever that like crinkled up. And me being a weirdo, he comes to us like, oh man, you're Priest Holmes. He's like, yeah, man. I was like, thanks for everything. And he's like,
yeah, but what do you say though? You know who you are?
Yeah. I mean, I was a 17-year-old, 2003. So 2006, I was 18. So like 15, I was 16 years old at the time, in the summer. And as he walked through, I'm just like, man, your biceps are huge. He's like, thanks, man, plastic. And I was like, all right, anyway. So we
he did that.
I was just like, he was like, thanks, man. I was like, because I almost wanted to do like Randy Quaid touches the hair. I want to like pinch the top of his bite. I was like, hey, but that's goofy.
But I will say this, bag your own stuff, dude. Like, there's nothing worse than I hate watching people stand there. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no, there was two
I people. Thought he was talking to you like, you know, like, no, stop talking to me.
Me and Doris in the morning and then her husband, they were just two retired
Doris
people.
Doris smoked, didn't she?
No.
No,
they
really?
Just wow. Two. They lived at John Knox Village. They went to, I think, like a United Methodist
Widow
Church
Central,
Summit,
baby.
And just, her and her husband worked every morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and she would cashier until I got there, and then he would bag for both
of us.
So,
that's just something to do to get out of the house at that point in time.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And go gamble at the boats.
But if there's no bagger at the end of the line, do it yourself. Yeah. There's nothing worse than watching these boomers watch the guy bag their groceries while they hold up the entire line.
It's ridiculous.
It is boomer central watching these folks do this kind of stuff.
My job.
Bag your stuff, man. Help everybody out. We're living in a society.
Costanza. So, speaking of Priest Holmes banging the drum against the Ravens, that is the game of the week, in my opinion. I know Dallas and Green Bay will have probably much more views for that game, which is a Sunday night standalone game.
Not a great slate.
It's not a good slate.
This week.
Not
well,
really
you have
at all.
Those in the NFL. They set up their weeks on purpose, and then they give you a little lull, and then they get back at it.
Yeah.
And good college slate, though.
Very. And so, with Mahomes and Lamar Jackson playing, this will be the seventh time they will play each other. Mahomes against Lamar Jackson in his career, 4-2 against him in the regular season with one win in the playoffs. Mahomes has not only like proven his resume throughout his career with rings and wins and playoff appearances and AFC championships and division titles and running out of breath, but Mahomes beats the elite of the elite. And I think that is a stat that gets talked about, but doesn't get really focused on, if that makes any sort of damn sense. But Mahomes, when you look at his playoff record, he's done it so much so you just run out of the same teams to play, but he's beaten really good teams. The only Achilles heel he has is running to Tom Brady a couple times and losing the Super Bowl and losing the AFC Championship game to New England. But he lost to Burrow, and that's his one loss in the playoffs to these elite quarterbacks. He is 12-9 versus the elite of the elite, which I would consider Burrow, Lamar, and Allen, right? We would consider those the three.
That's
Herbert
great.
Is making a case to be
yeah,
like,
Herbert's
hey,
starting
let me
to make
in the
a
room.
Case. Yeah,
well,
he may hey, look, he may knock Burrow out of the room. You know, this Heisman house that we if see every stay. Weekend, right? There's a good chance that Burrow gets knocked out of the elite quarterback house because he's got the toe injury, man. You can't make the club in the tub. You can't be elite if you're toe Burrow.
Right. And so I think this is kind of one of those things where this is not necessarily like where you'll judge their careers because of playoff games, but this will be a game in which Patrick Mahomes will play Lamar Jackson again. And if he wins, he's 5-2 against him in the regular season and 1-0 in the playoffs. He is 3-3 versus Burrow. Again, started off three losses to Joe Burrow, but then has won every single game since, one of them being an AFC championship game, kind of patched that up. Josh Allen, we know, regular season hero. He's 5-4 against Allen in the regular season, 4-0 against Josh Allen in the playoffs. And this is a
game. I can't believe they played almost an entire season against each other, too. They've played 13 times.
Well, look at Brady and Manning, man. That's why I say Mahomes and Allen is Brady and Manning of modern times.
Well, they played 9 times, right?
9 times.
He's 5-4 total overall. Like, wow, they played 13 times already.
They're going to play they're gonna play 10 times again this year.
Well, yeah, they'll play in the regular season. Probably will play in the postseason as well. You know, when it may be up in Buffalo, that's fine. We'll go up there and embarrass them and beat them in Buffalo. I have no worries at all.
Last game in that stadium.
Last game in that stadium would be the Chiefs beating Buffalo in the playoffs. Oh, I'm feeling it right now, man. I am. Mac did the flex motion, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm feeling it now. Let's go.
He did the close
that. Yeah. he's out there flexing, baby. Let's go. No, I love that scenario right now. That is the perfect dream scenario. AFC Championship game, Buffalo. Final game, Rich Stadium, Orchard Park, New York. It's a big deal. And the Chiefs come out victorious.
But Mahomes wins this one.
I know that I'm hard.
Patrick Mahomes wins this one in 12 seconds.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. And they still tell us that Patrick Mahomes is an elite, right? Well, who is he beating? Well, he did beat Josh Allen now twice on the road in the AFC playoffs, right? Yeah, but Joe Burrow's still better with a fur coat.
But let's not count our chickens before they hatch. You got to play this game Sunday against Lamar Jackson.
You're right.
You win this game, you have then solidified dominance over Lamar Jackson. And it would be the question, like, can Lamar Jackson beat Patrick Mahomes?
It's
already going to be there today on your national shows because they'll start ramping up week four.
Is he 1-5 at Arrowhead?
I think.
I saw something about that or heard something about that. Lamar, I'm talking about. 1-5 at Arrowhead?
Well, they played 6 times and Mahomes is 4-2 against him, and one win was in the playoffs,
and that was in Baltimore.
That was the AFC Championship game.
So he can't be 1-5 then. I don't know where I saw that.
But he could be you know 1-4.
Yeah, 1-4 at Arrowhead. Yeah, I'm getting more excited about this
because I know the game they won. That's the one where they looked at the sideline and Harbaugh was opening night, and he goes, "Do you want to do it, Lamar?" He goes, "Let's go do it," and he ran it in.
Yeah.
And then last year they lost the opener, so we know those two losses. So we'll see what happens.
And then you had that big pass to Tyreek Hill in Mahomes' first year as a starter. The fourth and nine
over the middle.
Whenever one went for 40, Tyreek
would have scored if he didn't have a bad egg. Oh, he's crazy. Yeah. He ran all the other side, that's Spencer Ware was your running back.
I mean, and that was the no-look pass game, too. Yes. And that wasn't even the best pass in that game. And then you're right, Spencer Ware was your running back. Yeah. And we're saying, we got to find a running back. Spencer Ware was our running back.
Spencer Ware.
You know what I would take?
Kendrick?
I'd take that offensive line that was in front of
him. That's fair.
Damn right.
I'll take that offensive line that was in front of Spencer Ware, Mitchell Schwartz, Eric Fisher. Who were the guys in the middle at that point in time?
Mitch Morris was your center.
Yep. Mitch Morris was your center at that time. And then you had two guards.
Jeff Allen? Was he there yet? Or is he gone?
He may have been late. Yeah, Allegretti, I don't know.
Yeah, Nick Allegretti's playing great in D.C. too. That you start to look back at like losses that you didn't think were going to matter at the time. When he signed with Washington, I'm like, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
He's been playing great there. We could use Nick Allegretti in his coin collecting right now.
I forgot about the coin collector.
He's a big coin collector, Him and Binkley talked about quarters.
Sorry, I messed up. Binkley has sent me 15 text messages to let me know that Mahomes is 5-1 against Lamar Jackson.
5-1 against Lamar.
5-1. They're meeting for the 7th time now. Mahomes 5-1, according to
Jay. So that's Jay the Binkley. Stat one that he was 1-5 against Mahomes. There it wasn't at Arrowhead. Yeah.
Sorry, Jay. Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Also, it is a Wednesday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
So this thought came into my head because of the Philadelphia tush push and what Philadelphia has been to the Chiefs of recent, but also it brings up Cincinnati. The poll question today on the Fesco and Dusty poll on the Fan 965 on X, who do you hate more as a Chiefs fan, the Philadelphia Eagles or the Cincinnati Bengals?
That question and answer has changed in 365 days in a big way for me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.